Everyone is born with special talents and abilities. Some are great singers, amazing artists, or natural leaders. Others are good listeners, compassionate mentors, or are good with their hands. In addition, as believers, God gives us spiritual gifts to impact the kingdom here on earth. As Christ followers, we are called to exercise our spiritual gifts and abilities by serving God and others in ministry, missions, and more. Using our gifts for God is just another way for us to make the most of who God has called us to be. And when we exercise our spiritual gifts, we will start to live for change.
Okay, who in the room is a Houston Cougar fan? Would you raise your hand? Oh, man. More than likely, you are not aware that your team beat my team yesterday. But so here's what I want to say. First of all, congratulations. It was a great victory. What an incredible offense and defense. And man, this is the Houston Cougars are going to be one of the best football teams in all of college football this year, and I hope the very best for you. The second thing I want to say is since college football has begun, we already know this happens every year in which one, or maybe even if everybody gets lucky, two Texas teams beat the University of Oklahoma during the season. So I am congratulating whomever it is that might beat OU sometime the rest of the season in advance. I am congratulating you so that after it happens, I have no intention of ever mentioning it again. And this way, I can put all my attention on that day in sackcloth and ashes and in myself. So I'm letting you know, congratulations, whenever and whomever it is. Okay? Letting you know that in advance. Today is a great day in that we have a real unique moment. 3.5 years ago, we had a group from Sugar Creek, still Sugar Creek, but starting a new campus, a campus in Siena Plantation, and it has been 3.5 years. It's strong, it's vibrant, very healthy. It's amazing how strong the campus is. But today, apparently, what I'm understanding, there's electrical problems in Siena. Rich Point High School, where the campus is struggling. And so many of our Siena family has come to Sugar Land campus today to worship with us simply because the electricity is in flux at Ridgepoint High School. So if you usually are at Siena campus, we would love for you to stand right now. We want to say we love you. We're glad you're part of this service today. And here are many right here. We're so glad you're here. Thank you. We've had Siena folks in all three of our services this morning. We're really grateful for you. Thank you for being a part of our service today. This is the last message in a series that we've been doing now all for the last 5-6 weeks entitled Live for a Change. And we've got a purpose as a church, and we always say the purpose at the end of the service, but I'm going to ask us to say it right now. Would you join me in quoting our purpose together? Our purpose is to love and lead all people to life change in Christ. It's all about life change. It's all about us being changed from the inside out to become just like Jesus Christ. And we're not surprised by the whole idea of change. All of life, all of the physical life is about change. It's about learning and growing and changing. We know that. And so our spiritual life is about the same thing, learning and growing and changing to become more like Jesus Christ. This whole series has as its central focus this idea, owning your change. So many individuals are saying, well, okay, I know that God is changing me. I know that I'm in the process of change and I'm just sort of a passive bystander and God's working in my life and that sort of thing. But that isn't the idea at all in the Bible. The idea in the Bible is that we own the change, that we are proactive in the change, that we are partners with God. And the whole series has that kind of idea in mind. How can we be better partners with God in this great change that He is working in our life? There are many people that I've talked to who have said to me, well, I want to change. I don't know in what areas do I change. How do I do it? How do I be proactive? What is it that God is doing in my life to change me? And so what we did is put together six basics in the Bible that deals with the issue of change. And in these six basics, it says, if you're doing these things, if these things are a part of your everyday life, God is at work in changing your life. We put all six of those together in an acrostic, the word change, to better remember them. And this morning, I want to talk about the very last one, the E, exercises spiritual gifts. One of the things that we struggle with sometimes with the whole idea of change is I don't know how to judge how well I'm doing. But we put together an assessment, online assessment tool that we can just take this assessment, takes 15, 20 minutes, and we get an idea of where am I strong? Wow, I didn't realize I was really stronger than I thought right here, and here are some areas in which I can grow. And when you get finished with the assessment, we then bring up a whole list of resources that you can use, especially in those areas that need some fine-tuning. You can begin to grow and own that growth in your life. And in our minds, we have this idea that every 6 months, every year, we go back, and all the while, we are fine-tuning the assessment, fine-tuning the resources, making them stronger. So as you continue to grow, every time you go back, take the assessment again, wow, look at the change that's happened. And here's some new resources I can use to help me continue to grow closer to being like Christ. Already we have over 1,400 people that have taken the assessment, for which we're pretty excited about. And we'd love it if you haven't taken it yet, that you would go online. The information is right there in your bulletin and maybe your student notes there. I didn't look at those for sure. But go online, take that assessment on our church's website. We'd love it if you did it and did it today. Now, I want to talk to you about the very last one. Exercises spiritual gifts. It's already September, which is hard to believe, isn't it? But it's September, October-ish, where in all of the Southwest United States, counties have these county fairs. Have you ever been to a county fair? It's kind of fun, isn't it? To go to county fairs, some people go every single year. It's a lot of fun to do it. And in a particular county fair, they had that old-fashioned horse pull where they have a sled. They would stack a tons actually of weight on the sled to see which horse in the county is the strongest horse. And in that horse pull, as it turns out, the horse that won it pulled 4,500 pounds. When I read that, I was stunned. I didn't know that a horse could, that's a lot of weight, over 2 tons. Pull that much weight was shocking to me. And the runner-up horse was 4,400 pounds. So after that took place and they awarded the winner, then they said, well, what if we put these two horses, the two strongest horses in the county together, wonder how much weight they could pull. Well, isn't that just a simple math issue? I mean, one was 4,400, one was 4,500. It's obviously going to be around 9,000 pounds. But it turned out to be 12,000 pounds. Why? It's called synergy, where there is this power force that is greater than the sum of the parts. It's synergy. And these two horses pulling together pulled 12,000 pounds, 6 tons. And it's very much like us, in which we are stronger together than we will ever be separate from each other. And it isn't just synergy that we have going for us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit among us so that God does in and through us more than we ever dreamed could happen. That God uses us in a more powerful way than we ever imagined if we would simply pull together. And I want to talk to you about that today. I've got two big goals. The first goal is, you notice there's a lot of people in orange t-shirts. I've really blocked out orange in my life. I don't really think about orange. And so I'm not sure how we got orange t-shirts, but there they are everywhere. And so I'm not wearing one today, but the orange t-shirts are simply recognizing people that are involved in some ministry. And so, yay, God. But there are many people that are involved in ministry that don't have the orange t-shirt on. And yay, God, for you. And today, the first thing I want to do is just be able to pause and say thank you for the service that you give to the Lord, the service you give to this church, to other people in this church. You're making a difference. We're pulling together. And I'm deeply grateful for you. Yeah, let's give them an applause. And all those in this room that are serving God. Now, the second purpose of the message today, though, is then to say for those who are not involved in some ministry or not a part of a ministry in your life of ministering to God and others, I want to challenge you today to take a good hard look at what the Bible teaches about this whole idea of spiritual growth, because one of the aspects is that God changes us as we minister to God and each other. And I want to get a lot more people, hundreds more people that are involved in ministry. I think sometimes that the reason that maybe more are not involved is I've had people say to me, I just don't know how to get started. I don't know where I'm needed. I don't know whether my abilities and talents line up. I just don't know how to get started. And that's why out in the commons, we have all these kiosks and tables and that sort of thing, people manning those, so that you can go and explore. Sometimes we're not sure. Where do I fit in? And you can go and explore some ideas, some new ministries. Maybe you've already served in a church. You already know where you fit. And yeah, that's a slam dunk. I already have an idea. You can go to the table and ask, okay, where do I find this kind of ministry? Maybe it's youth ministry or children's whatever. They'll point you in the right direction. And you could go find out how your talents and your spiritual gifts could fit that ministry. But there are others who say, I don't really know how to know how I fit. I don't know where I really belong in ministry. We actually have a ministry to help you find your ministry. That ministry is called Place, P-L-A-C-E, and we start a new Place group next week. And what happens is that you find out so much about yourself, your personality, your giftedness, your talents. It's just absolutely amazing. When you get out of there, you're saying, wow, I'm more wonderful than I ever dreamed. And you go through that and you begin to discover where it is that it lines up for where you are, who you are, and some ministry in the church, and we guide you in that direction. We'd love it if you took Place. And at the back of that worship guide you got today, you can actually sign up for Place. I want to help you today. I want to help you kind of get off dead center. Find some place where you really fit in ministry. I want to do that by using a story that Jesus taught us, a parable in the Bible, where he showed us that how it is that we're to live a life in which we give ourselves away. I think it'd be easier if I just told the story than read it. Because after all, that's exactly how Jesus did it. He told the story. And the story went something like this. Once upon a time, there was a very wealthy man. He was a king. And the king was going to go into a far country. But he brought three of his servants together and said, I'm about to leave and go into a far country. Now, I'm going to be back, so you need to be ready when I get back. But I'm going into a far country, and I'm going to give you some money to invest while I'm gone. To the first servant, he gave $5,000. It says five talents. But a talent in first century was approximately $1,000 in that time. You can imagine today what would be $1 million or multi-million dollars. And he gave to that servant $5,000. And he said, I want you to invest this money while I'm gone. And when I come back, you show me what you have earned from it. The second servant, he gave him $3,000, three talents. And the third servant, he gave them $1,000, one talent. Well, the king left, and then he came back, unannounced, by the way, and suddenly, boom, there he was. So the three servants now were brought before him. And the first servant said, well, you gave me $5,000 when you left, five talents. Here's the five talents you gave me. And here is the five talents I made with it. So I'm giving you back $10,000. Well, the king, when he saw that, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is where that phrase came from, this very parable. He said, you've been faithful in these few things. I'm going to give you so many more things. I'm so pleased with you. I'm so happy about you. Well, the second servant had the $3,000, and he said, here's the $3,000 you gave me, and here's the $3,000 I made with it, $6,000. And the king said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I gave you a little bit, few things, but you have been faithful in them, and now I'm going to give you so many more. I'm so happy with you. Do you notice that both of these servants got the same thing? I mean, one made five extra thousand and one made only three extra thousand, but they got the same reward. And when I see that, I get really excited because there are so many people that are so much more talented than me, have so many more abilities than I do. So many things can do things I can't do. And if I were going to be judged by those people, I'd come up short every time. But God doesn't judge you and I by somebody else. So they've got all those talents. That's great. God gave them those talents. And they're responsible for the talents for what God has given to them. But you and I, we're only responsible for what God's given us. We're only held accountable for what God's given us. We don't have to be judged according to somebody else. In other words, we can have exactly the same response of God that somebody else who did so many more things than we could ever attempt to do. Well, the third servant came and he said, well, I mean, I know you're a tough guy. And you gave me $1,000. And I was afraid that if I invested $1,000, I'd lose some of it. And boy, would I be in trouble. So I decided that instead of investing, I would bury the $1,000. And I buried the $1,000. Don't even worry. I dug up all the $1,000 back and no one stole any of it. I haven't lost a penny of it. And the $1,000 you gave me, here it is. I give it back to you. I'm sure that that guy thought, well, I haven't lost anything, so the king will be happy. But all the praise that was handed out to the first two guys turned to scorn with the third guy. All the commendations that were handed out to the first two became condemnations to the third guy. And he said to the third guy, you are a wicked, lazy servant. That's stronger than I would have ever imagined. And he said, take that $1,000 away from that guy and give it to the guy who has $10,000. And they said, but wait a minute, he's only got one and you're going to take that one away? And why would you give it to the guy who's got 10? And the master said, because that one who is unfaithful with what I've given to them, I will take what little he still has. I'll take it away and I'll give it to the person who has much because of the faithfulness of his life. Now, Jesus is telling the story. And when he comes to the end of the story, he then turns to the audience who's listening and he says to the audience, I know it's just a story, but it's a story based on truth. This is exactly what will happen one day when you stand before God and your life is evaluated. How faithful have you been with what I gave you? To be honest, when I hear the story and when I retell the story, I feel, wow, man, I got to be on my game. I really need my life to count. I really need to be serious about what God's given me. Jesus is teaching some particular truths, and I think it's very, very important to us that we break it all down. I've got five key principles that definitely come directly out of the story that help us to understand what he is saying to us today. The story means something. It means exactly what he said. So what did he say? Well, the first thing that he said was this, principle number one, that God owns everything. God owns everything. Everything, every possession that we have, every talent we have, every opportunity we have, God owns everything. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not the banks. It's not the governments. It's God's. Notice what he says in Psalm 27, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Not just all the things, all the people. It all belongs to God. We're really on a lease program, every one of us. For some, the lease only lasts 10 years. For others, 20. For others, 40. For others, 60. For others, 70. For others, 90. For others, 100. Every one of us have a different lease program. But everything is on a lease program. And then it's not ours anymore. How many of you have ever been to a funeral in this room? Have you ever been to a funeral? You hate those, don't you? I hate them. I hate to go to funerals. How many of you have ever been to a burial site? There was a funeral, then they took the body, the casket, and they buried. How many of you have ever been to? Yeah, I've been to. And because I'm a pastor, I've actually ridden in the hearse that took the body, and that wasn't all that much fun. And I've also been in the first car right behind it. Sort of ceremonially, they put everybody in their order and they put the pastor right behind it. And did you know not one time did I ever see a U-Haul attached to the hearse? Not one time. Didn't take anything with him. Left it all. It was a lease program. And God is saying to you and me, I have given you things. I've given you abilities. I've given you opportunities. And I've given you a certain amount of time. And the job was to take advantage. And then I take it all back away. Because everything belongs to God. The second principle is this. God's given us some spiritual gifts and talents to be used for Him as a part of His purpose for us. It's not the sum total of purpose. Our whole purpose is not just wrapped up in things we do, ministries that we're a part of, and especially our career. That's not our purpose. It's part of what God does in our life. But it's not all. But part of the purpose is our ministry. And God has given to every single one of us talents, bucket load of talents. I know sometimes we think, I don't have any talents, I have no abilities. But the truth is, every one of us have a bucket load of them. And all of our life, we're learning more and more about ourselves, more and more about what talents we have, what abilities. All our life, we're unpacking new talents. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I had that ability. He gives all of us talents and abilities. He also, those of us who give our heart to Christ, who know Christ as our Savior, he gives us spiritual gifts. So there is a difference between spiritual gifts and abilities, but we put it all together and God gives us these things to use in ministry for him and others. So what I'm saying to you is that there is no talent person anywhere in this room. There is no talented person in this room. God has given to all of us abilities. And notice what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. These are gifts of grace that God gives. He gives us abilities and strength and skill and physical health and family and children and opportunities and business situations and brains and personality and the fact we live in a free country and in fact that the fact that we live in the great state of Texas and the fact that we get to live in the Houston area. All of these things are God's grace. And he's given these trusts, a noun, trust, not a verb. He's given us this trust. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says it this way, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. You've been given a trust. The word trust means these things he's given to us and what God is saying that trust that God has given to us matters to God. Some of you have such incredible personalities. I mean, seriously, you walk in a room, it just lights up the whole room. Some of you, when you're just around, you're such a people person. And you really honestly love people and you get energy being with people and you walk in a room and wow, it just all lights up and everybody loves being around you. And when you flash the smile that is so real, so sincere, but that smile, so many people would have said if they ever just got honest, they just say, you know what, whenever I see you smile, it's like, I feel better about me. I feel like I matter. I mean, just the way you receive me, you accept me, you are amazing. And how is God using that talent of yours? That people skill, that making a whole room light up, how are you using that in ministry for God and each other? Some of you just love kids. You just love them. I mean, I know sometimes kids can get a little bit on our nerves and we get on our kids' nerves sometimes too, but I'm just saying that you just love kids. You just love to be with them. You love to see their progress. You just love them. And some of you can teach kids. You know how. You know how for little kids to be able to learn some spiritual truth, and you're just amazing. And some of you say, well, I can't teach kids, but I can sure be with kids, and I could be a support to a person who has that gift of teaching kids. Yeah, I love kids. I love to be around them. How are you using that? I can tell you, you could use that in this church. We need that in this church. Some of you have an ability to teach teenagers. Wow, what an amazing gift that is. To teach teenagers, that's got to be the supercharged one. And you have an ability to do that. You're good at that. And some of you know how to teach adults, and you can take the Bible, you can make it so clear, so understandable, and you have that ability. Some of you can organize literally anything. Needs organization, man, give it to you. You got it all put together. It's like it just comes right out of your brain. You can organize literally anything. These are all abilities God has given to you, all talents God has given to you, even spiritual gifts that God has given to you. How are you using those for Him? You know, part of what we do with these things is we make a living with them. We do things for ourselves. Okay, that's fine. But it can't be all about you. How are you using the talent and ability and spiritual gifts for God and for other people? That's what this is about. There's a third principle, and the principle is this: one day, God will audit our lives and make us accountable. Look what Jesus said in the parable, in the story itself, Matthew 25, verse 19. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts. It's a parable, it's a made-up story, but it is a made-up story based upon a spiritual reality. One day, that's exactly what He's going to do with us. Now, the Bible talks about two different kinds of judgments. One of them is the great white throne judgment. It's pretty awesome kind of judgment. And this, I just have it in my mind, this picture of a whole line of people there. And the name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they know that they're doomed forever. And it is this judgment of those who don't know God, who have not accepted Christ in their heart. But there's a second kind of judgment for people who do know God, who have accepted Christ in our heart. And the Bible describes it as the judgment seat of Christ. And notice how He describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Circle the word all, because it means you and me. I'm going to be there. You are too, if you know Christ, you're going to be there. And notice how He describes this, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. God wants us to use our talents for Him and others, and it's called ministry. So what ministry are you a part of? Well, Pastor, actually, I'm waiting for the phone call. I'm home every day thinking maybe I'll get the phone call today. I'm waiting for the phone call. What's wrong with you people up at the church office? You should know that I want to do such and such, and I'm just waiting for the phone call. Well, how are we going to know what every single member of this church wants to do? How are we going to know that? And what if we guess wrong and we call you? No, I don't like doing that. I don't want to do that. Then we call you again. No, I don't like that. Then when you see caller ID, you're going to say, I'm not picking up the phone. That's Sugar Creek Baptist Church again calling me. Would they leave me alone? See, we can't do that. It's not coming. There's no phone call coming. No, you got to take the initiative. You got to be the first to step out. And this is why we do every so often what we're doing out there in the Commons area. You can go and check out different ministries. You can explore for yourself. Man, there's some things I've got an interest in, and go and explore. You be proactive. You make the first move. We're out here for you. We want you to come. What ministry are you doing? Here's principle number four. It's wrong for us to bury what God gave us. The first man goes out, he's got 5,000, makes another 5,000, 100% return. The second person's got 3,000, makes 3,000 back, 100% return. The third guy takes his $1,000 and buries it. And Jesus said, his master replied to him, "You wicked." You don't think of yourself as wicked. But he said, "You wicked, lazy servant." I can't please God by playing it safe or playing it selfish. God has given me some spiritual gifts and talents, and He wants me to use them for Him and others. I get the whole idea of being new. Hey, I'm just new here. I've got to have a little bit more time. I got to kind of get into it. Give me a little time. And I get that. I really do. Get the lay of the land. I get the whole idea. I'm burned out. Man, I've been doing 6 or 7 different things, and I'm wiped out, burned out. I need a break. I'm just going to have to take a break for a while. I get that. I've been wounded, and I need to take a break. I've gone through some hurts, and I've gone through some hard times, and I'm wounded, and I need a little bit of a break. I get that. I'm not physically able anymore. I'm disabled. I can't do that. I understand. But here's the truth. For most of all these, there's a time to get on the other side. There's a time to get back to, I've called you to do ministry for me. It's time to get back in. Principle number 5 is this: if we use our spiritual gifts and talents wisely, we will be rewarded. And notice what he says. His master replied to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Look at the rewards. Greater trust. You've been faithful in some, I'll give you more. Greater enjoyment with God. Come and enter into my happiness. I'm really proud of you and how you have ministered to others. And the last, the ultimate reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can I tell you something? These aren't super Christians that get this. I know sometimes we think that, well, that's a super Christian. Of course, when they die and they see Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant, of course they'll get that. I'm not a super Christian. I could never do that. I can never get that. But what's interesting to me is that the guy with 5 got that, the guy with 3 that got that, and the guy with just 1 would have. So I'm telling you, every single one of us could hear this from God. Well done, good and faithful with what I gave you. Every one of us. So how about you? Let's pray. We come to you today, Father, recognizing we're not super Christians. We don't have tons of talent like maybe other people, but you've still called us. You still have a job, a ministry for us to do. And God, I pray that many in the room are making the decision at this very moment, I won't bury it anymore. I won't bury it. God, how can you use me? I don't have a ton of time, but there's ministries that don't require a lot of time. I've got more time than others, and I just don't know where to put it. There's ministries for that. So God, move in us. Instead of saying no with a bunch of excuses, burying, God, may this be the day we say yes. And we yield ourselves to you. So open hearts, open minds, and use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.